Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to episode 949 of the Talking Metal Podcast. My name is Mark Striegel. I've been doing this show since 2005 and still getting a kick out of talking with guests who've been on the show many times, like the one we have today, Udo Dirkschneider, and people we've never spoken with before, like Johanna Sidonis, also known as Johanna Andersson, because she is, I'm reading, is married to Nick or Nick A from Lucifer. And Nick, of course, also used to play with Entombed and The Helicopters, two bands I love. So anyways, Johanna is here with us today, too. Never spoken with her before, and she was a pleasure to speak to. So let's get into the episode in just a moment. First, we're going to thank all our patrons. So here we go. Nick Beach, Mrs. Metal Dan, Sam Warwick, Kado Yogova, Adrian Cusick, Dane Damage, Madison Hatter, Seth B., Alan Janssen, Hank Reeves, John Simpson, Huckney Jacobson, Ed Ferguson, Denny Striegel, Patrick Sabin, Jerry from Salt Lake City, Blue Walsh 21, Victor Guzman, Gene Eugene DX, Sean Richmond, Mario Charance, Andrew Miller, Jeremy Weltman, Chris Riley, Johan Erdestrom, Stephen Rodriguez, Tommy Anderson, Gregory Muse, Kenny McCrimmon, Leo from Alaska, Brad from Utah, Brad Dahl, that is, Yarg Metal, Dan Gerwin, I believe from California, right? Victor M. Ruiz, Sam Soupy, Drake, Matt Carroll, Joe Ryan, also from California, Jason Seth, Steven Saylor from PA, Ron Keel, Jean-Francois Blah, Anthony Mackey, James Bennett, David Gray, Fred Rutz, Michael Street, Mike Jones, Steve Hoker, John Bovary, Metal Dan, and that's it. Yeah, we have lost a number of patrons lately, so if you're out there and you want to join me on Patreon, I would love that. We're trying to get the numbers up a little bit. It's kind of a little disheartening to see some people leave, since we put such hard work into this podcast, the Talking Metal Podcast. And listen, there is a bonus podcast, but you don't have to even listen to that if you just want to, you know, support Patreon with a pledge. I know a lot of the people who support us there don't listen. So, you know, it's more about just supporting what I do here. But if you are interested in even more Mark Striegel, you get that bonus podcast every week. And if you do a $5 a month pledge or more, I will also send you out a Talking Metal t-shirt anywhere in the world, folks, anywhere. So there you go. And let's do this. Let's get into our episode. Hey, welcome to another edition of the Talking Metal Podcast. This is Mark Striegel. I'm standing here in the kitchen. And Emily, what are you up to right now? It's like craziness. There's vegetables, sausage, pots and pans, broth. What's going on?
Making soup. What else are you supposed to? It's cold. It's the first day that it feels cold outside, so it's time to make some soup.
Right on. And you're making soup today. You made a great interview the other day. We have two great interviews on today's episode. We have later on in the podcast, Johanna from the band Lucifer. It was supposed to be Nick and Johanna, and I had all these questions prepared about for Nick on his time in Entombed and another great band, The Helicopters. I mean, the guy has just a remarkable history, and now he's in this great band who are about to put out their fourth record called Lucifer. And unfortunately, Nick, he was not able to attend the interview. So I felt bad because a lot of my questions were geared towards him, but Johanna was great. And we had a great conversation on all things Lucifer, including the Kiss connection that the band has. So that was kind of fun to talk about and other things. So stay tuned for that. It was just a great conversation. And we're going to start things off with your interview, Emily. Who did you talk to?
Udo. I got to talk to Udo again.
This is your third time interviewing him? He's been on the show probably like literally 8 or 9 times since we started back in 2005, maybe even more than that. But I think this is your third interview with him.
Yeah. And one time was in person in New York City, which was highlight. And that was with Fitty and Sven. I was trying to say Sven and Fitty at the same time, which was like amazing. And every time I talk to Udo, I'm like, I don't know if he remembers me. I think he does. I always have to kind of remind him. We met in New York City, you know.
And you brought him cookies in Asbury Park. Yeah.
On his birthday. I didn't bring that up because I thought that sounded like too stalker-ish. But you know how much I love Udo.
Absolutely. And thank you for doing that interview. Right now, we're going to get into that interview. This is Emily speaking with Udo Dirk Schneider, a new record on the way. Can't wait. Let's get the scoop right now from the man himself here on Talking Metal.
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah, fine. Thank you very much. I'm very good.
Good, good, good. I don't know if you remember me. We've met in New York City. It seems like it was ages and ages ago. Everything pre-pandemic seems like ages ago. Do you remember that?
picture-wise, you know?
Yeah. It was Fetty and you and Sven. So, yeah. I interviewed you guys prior to one of your shows in New York City, but it's been a while. So it's good to hear your voice again. How have you been?
Yeah, everything fine. Everything good so far. So, yeah.
Good.
What can I say?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wanted to call today to speak a little bit about your new album coming out on the 22nd. So any day now, by the time this probably goes up, it'll be released. It's called Game Over. Sounds amazing. Congratulations. I got to listen to some of the early cuts and it sounds really good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm also really happy with the new album. I mean, it's a lot of songs, 16 songs and, yeah, I think it's a good mix up, you know, like speed songs, up tempo, mid tempo songs, slow songs, ballads, everything on there. A lot of melodies, really good guitar work, in my opinion. And so I'm really happy with the new album.
It's great and it's amazing. So this is your 17th UDO studio albums and your 27th full length studio album, which includes, of course, the work you did with Accept. How do you stay motivated like this? Because this isn't just an EP release. Like you said, this is a more than full-length album. And some people are, putting things out every 10 years. You're giving us music constantly for decades. So what drives you, Udo? I need to know your secret.
Yeah, but I mean, of course, we did, in 2020, came out the We Are One album with the orchestra. I mean, it was a long work that took nearly a year. But step by step, we did this album. And then we did the live album and also DVD from the Pandemic Survival Show in Bulgaria. And then I did put out in the beginning of this year the EP with Dirk Schneider and the Old Gang. But that was more a charity thing and a side project. And and in the meanwhile, we were working on the Game Over album, you know. I mean, we had enough time about the pandemic stuff, you know. So that gives us more time than normally, you know, no touring. And that's why we had enough time to work on this album. And for me, this is also, after a long time, a real band album, you know. Everybody was involved in arranging, songwriting, the whole band. And, I mean, it, For me, this album has a really good atmosphere.
Yeah, no, it absolutely does. And the fans, we're missing the live shows. I know there are some people that are starting to tour again, and I know you played some shows recently, which I want to talk about. But the upside of the pandemic, you know, if there is one, is the fact that we are seeing a lot of music. So we're really grateful that you've continued to put music out. And so this album is called Game Over, and I wanted to talk about this. So I'm always so happy that you're not afraid to speak about somewhat, you know, I don't want to say political themes, but themes about the human race and what's happening to us. Yeah. And so is Game Over a reference to us? You know, everything from global warming to pandemics to wars, things that have impacted you directly, you know, and all of us directly. Are you saying it's game over for us, or what is that?
First, the Game Over, the title for the album came up during the recording session for Game Over, you know. For us, it was completely difficult this time, you know. We did everything over Skype, FaceTime, Zoom, all that stuff, you know. And there was, I don't know, somebody who, I don't know exactly who it was. He was say this in German, you know, and then it's like in English, it's like Game Over. You know, it was a lot of things also for us, game over, you know. No touring, recording was completely different. We couldn't be together in one room and all that stuff. And that was, and then Game Over, we said, okay, a guy, a nice title for an album. And so that was the first reason. But now, what you see now is like all these fires going on, you know, like in California, in the south of Europe, in Siberia, in Russia, and also the big flood what we had in Europe, you know. And that means the global climate is changing, you know, and I think nobody can say, no, there's nothing happened. I mean, and now it became... game over. I mean, if we are not taking care of a lot of things, then there will be a big game over, you know. Yeah. And we always have to think there is a next generation and another generation, and they have to live on this planet. But I always already said with the We Are One album, we only have one planet. We don't have no planet B, you know. Exactly. So
exactly.
That's the thing.
And talk to me about how is Sven, because he was impacted directly by the floods.
Yeah, yeah. So the whole studio is gone, the whole basement is gone. And he cannot live in the house anymore at the moment. So they start repairing everything. And that looked like that he maybe, if he lucky, maybe next March, next year, March, April, he can move back to the house. I mean, it's a nightmare, you know. This is like...
Yes.
And also, you know, he became a father, has a little daughter. Yep. It makes it more, not so easy, you know, though they're living at the moment in the house of the parents of his wife, you know.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, this is not like... this is a lot of things he has to do with the... With the house, you know, a lot of workers are coming, and this one and this one. And for him at the moment, it's not so nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think we were asking our Talking Metal listeners to do what they could to, you know, help. He had, a GoFundMe or something. So we gave some money because that huge loss. We saw the pictures.
Oh, yeah.
It was just devastating. And so, you know, the fact that he, you know, is still moving ahead and trying to go back and trying to rebuild. And a lot of people are dealing with this right now, as you said. It's just, there's global impact with all of the climate change, for sure.
Definitely.
So is this your first time as a grandpa, or is this your first grandchild?
Yes, it's the first time.
So tell me, do you like having a granddaughter?
Yeah, it's nice, you know, to see, you know, now she's 11 months old, and now she's no interesting what's going on, and start a little bit talking, and I hope I have enough time to see her growing up, you know.
Yes.
So, it's nice, it's a nice feeling.
It is. That's great. I hope we get to see some pictures one day of you with your granddaughter. That'd be nice. So going back to the album. So the opening cut is super catchy. Fear Detector. Yes. So I think the lyric is, I'm on the run to overcome my pain. Can you talk to me a little bit about this song coming together?
This song coming together, our main idea came from Andre. And what I said before, then everybody was working on the song, you know. They came up with ideas how we want to do it. This time also I did all the lyrics together with my son. And also he was involved in a lot of melodies, you know. He said, oh, maybe you can sing it in this way and this way. So that was working then together on each song on this album, you know. It's a really good, I think it's a really good opening track, you know, for the album.
Does Sven sing? Because we all know that Sven plays drums, right? But you're saying he helps you write lyrics. He helps you kind of coach some of the vocal track too. So he's a singer as well.
Yeah, he can sing very well. I mean, he's doing all chorus and stuff, you know, also in the studio. I mean, he's getting more and more a composer, you know. He's getting more and more into that. And definitely also the two new guys, Dee Dummers and Tilgun Hoodrup, they came up with really good ideas, you know. And, there was a really working together on everything, you know. I mean, the two guitar players, they was really working together, you know, and then said, we can change it here. Maybe we change the harmonies in there. It was really, everybody was involved. And that's, for me, what I said, it's like, for me, a really band album, you know. It's not like, okay, Udo has to say this is the direction. No, it's just was also interesting for me, you know, and I was really open-minded to everything. I mean, of course, they are really young, all these guys in the band, you know, and there's a different generation. They was listen to different kind of metal stuff, metal bands and all that stuff. And not, I'm the old guy, you know, listen to Uriah Heep and Black Sabbath, Deep Purple, I don't know. And for me, that was really interesting. And I said, okay, I want to be really open-minded. And we will see what's coming up, you know. And I think the result, what can I say? I'm really happy with it.
Yeah, it worked. It works. It absolutely is a great album. And it's nice to know that you're open to that, though, Udo, because not everyone is. So Udo, to our listeners, Udo's no diva. Oh, Udo, you know, you listen to others, you're open to others' ideas, and you're not so set in your ways. So that's nice to hear that it was a group project for real. Logistically, how does that work when let's say you start recording and you have some ideas? Did you guys doing like Zoom calls together, like actually discussing things, or did you mostly just email back and forth about ideas?
Yeah, that was the thing, I mean, about this pandemic thing, you know. Normally we are collecting the ideas, you know, and then when we say, okay, we have enough ideas, then normally we go into, let's say, rehearsal room or little studio with our producer and then start arranging the songs, working on the songs, you know. So, but this time it was not possible to go in one room. And so we did everything over what I said before, to over Zoom, Skype, on all this modern stuff, you know. Yeah. So that means that was like, we always have a conference, then we start talking. So we said, okay, today we want to talk about this song. And then, you know, but talking to each other and said, okay, maybe we can change it here. We can do it like this and this and this. Then you have to wait. There is a link coming. Then you have to listen to that. And then you have to make another conference and say, that fits together, fits for this song. And also behind, there was the two guitar players always in contact, you know, over the internet. And it was a little bit difficult working, you know. And but for me, I was lucky. I had all the first ideas, and then the studio was still working in Sven's house. So I was then in the studio of Sven, and then we could work on melodies and lyrics, you know. Nice. That was really lucky. And So that's the way how we are working on songs and in the end on the album.
Cool. I have a couple more songs I wanted to ask about. First of all, Metal Never Dies. Love this track. It sounds very autobiographical. It sounds like you're telling the story of Udo. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
You get it.
It has a really cool video too, but go ahead and tell me more about it.
Yeah, I mean, of course, the video shooting was also when we was rehearsing for the show in Bulgaria. So that was the thing that we was together, you know. We've been together and nobody knows if it happened in 3 or 4 weeks, you know. So and then we did all the video stuff for Prophecy. We also for Metal Never Dies. We did the photo shooting and everything, you know. And yeah, the video, for example, is a little bit more like vintage, you know, old 80s stuff.
Yep.
And it fits together for me also with the lyrics. I mean, you know, I'm talking about when I start making music, I didn't have that much to say. And then if you listen to the second verse, I said, okay, of course I have always something to say now. You know? And so, in a way you are right. It is a little biography of myself, you know. And I like that. I mean, it will be definitely a really, really good live life song. Definitely.
Oh, yeah. I can already hear it right now. And so, you know, speaking of things you have to say on your albums, tell me about Kids and Guns. Can you talk a little bit about what this song is about?
Yeah, Kids and Guns is like, in general, we are against weapons, you know. It's better to talk to each other than kill each other. That's, in a way, the main reason, but it's like in Africa, for example, you know, they're kidnapping young boys and make them young soldiers, you know. They're maybe 14, 15 years old and killing people, you know.
Yeah.
And also, let's say, I know it's not so popular, but there is a big lobby in America for guns, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's also, in my opinion, better talk to each other than to kill each other.
I agree.
You know, and we had the same also here in Europe, you know. I mean, that was a lot of things happened here also here on schools in Germany. Then this thing happened in Norway, you know, this guy who was killing, I don't know, over 70 people. You know, and in the end, the general meaning is like it's better to talk to each other and then instead of killing each other, you know. Again, it's weapon. That's the meaning of the song.
Yeah, I love the fact that I can sit down and listen to a Udo album and not only enjoy the music, but enjoy the message. So kudos to you and to all the guys for putting out such an amazing album. And tell me, so when you were at the Bulgaria show, was this, said this was for, tell me about that. Was that under the Dirkshiner name or was that a Udo gig?
No, we did this under Udo. And I mean... Our promoter from Bulgaria, he came up and said, yeah, I would love to do a show, an outdoor show. Then we said, are you sure? about the whole pandemic stuff. But then in the end, he said, yeah, really, that will be happened. I have a list about how everything secured the whole healthy stuff, you know. In hygienic stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then so we had to rehearse. I mean, we was not playing for 1 year. And then the only wish he had, oh, is it possible maybe to play some accept songs, you know? So we said, okay, come on, it's the only show. And of course, satisfied the people, you know? So, and then what I said before, during the rehearsal for this Bulgarian show, we did all the stuff already for Game Over. And and then they were showing us some pictures of the venue. And then we said, wow, it looks really great. And then the idea came up, like, hey, come on, we have to record this, you know, and also filming the whole show. So, and the Bulgarian TV was really helpful. They said, yeah, come on, we can do that, film the whole thing. And we did then the recording. Yeah, and I think... You know, it was like also a special show. I mean, we didn't expect that nearly 3,000 people were there, you know. And I was like, what? We, in a way, we was expecting, yeah, okay, maybe 500, 800. But it was really like, wow, you know, and no mask, nothing. And yet it was also a really, for us, an emotional evening, you know. Yes. I mean, you give really everything what you have. And also the audience was really into that, you know. I think, of course, they were really hungry to see a show. And I think you can hear that also on the CD and also when you watch the DVD. And that, yeah, and that...
I can't wait to watch it. I haven't seen it, Udo. No. I got to admit, but I'm going to definitely go watch that one. I mean, if there's one thing that we've learned in the past year and a half, it's we're never going to take live music for granted ever again. And not just the audiences, but you guys too, right? Like, mm-hmm. So it was emotional to be back on stage. And I mean, what are you guys thinking now? Like, some people have been very clear, like, we're not touring again until 2022. Some people are out there doing it right now. So what's your viewpoint on when you'll hit the road again?
Yeah, I mean, we only did also this year two shows, like two festivals, one mm-hmm. in Belgium, one in Czech Republic. And also everything was fine, you know. After this festival, there was no infection going on. So, but, you know, normally I'm on tour now in Russia, but they not canceled, but they've moved now the whole tour again. Now they put this in February next year. And it looked like also that we have to cancel the European tour, you know. So this year, normally it was planned that we start in the middle of November until the end of December. And also now the situation is, it's not possible to do it, you know. And it's also now moved to 2022. That means everything will be happened in 2022. And if everything works, and I think it will be, I mean, now in Europe, everything goes more and more normal, you know. So, and I think also next year, I think there will be, possible to do everything, you know. And, I mean, for example, in America, a lot of bands are playing now or are touring in America, you know. I know that. And... But for us, it's not possible to come to America. At the moment, the border is closed for European people. But I heard they open up in November or something like that. And I'm looking really forward to come back to the US, you know, so I get the schedule for next year today. And they want to do the tour now in September in the US. A really long one, I saw. It was like, whoa. And, hopefully everything works. And I'm really looking forward to come back to the US.
Absolutely. Cannot wait to see you next time you're around. We will wait patiently for you. And I'm sure you're going to have a very hungry, happy audience to see you when you come back. So, hey, listen, we're really appreciative that you spent some time with Talking Metal today. We're so excited about the album. Everyone go check it out. It's called Game Over, UDO. Udo, so good to hear you again, to talk to you again.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you very much for everything, and hopefully we'll see you the next year.
We'll see you next year. Thanks, Udo.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Udo Dirkschneider, always a pleasure to have him on the show. And wow, he's given us such great music through the years consistently. He never stops, that guy. He is the metal machine, literally just cranking out such good music year after year after year. And speaking of good music, we're going to switch gears. We're going to kind of change the vibe musically, although I can't play music anymore, so I wish I could. It bugs me that I can't. I'll be honest with you guys, it really bugs me. I would love to have a platform where I could play some tunes, talk about tunes, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe one day I can continue to dream that, you know, an FM radio station or Sirius XM or something will give me a platform one day, but hasn't happened as of yet. But believe me, I am trying and would be honored to be somewhere where I could play music, because the talking and stuff is great here, but you know, I, part of this show when I started was that I played music, and I do truly miss that. I really do. So let's stop the complaining and let's get into the interview with Johanna right now from a great band. I mean, the new music on this Lucifer 4 is absolutely awesome. Get the album, check it out. Here we go. Johanna, it was a pleasure speaking with her, and let's take a listen to it right now. Hey, it's Mark Striegel from Talking Metal, and we are joined by Johanna from the band Lucifer. How are you today?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
I am great, and I am very excited because I've gotten to listen to the brand new record you guys have coming out this Halloween, and it is Lucifer 4. Is it safe to say that this album may not have come about if it weren't for COVID?
It would have come about maybe not as swift. Of course, we had more time on our hands, given that we can't tour. But I mean, we are big fans of the undeniably so of the 70s era. And back in the day, it was just so that bands blasted out way more releases than usually nowadays. You know, sometimes you had bands releasing an album or even more a year. And we like that, you know, and we consider ourselves an album band. And having our own studio at home, it was a no-brainer to make use of the time that we can tour to record another album.
Right on. And it sounds just great. I'm loving the new songs. Let's talk about the music video, which is such a unique thing. You know, I was wondering where it's going to go. We're talking about the music video for Crucifix, I Burn For You. Is this all done in one take? I mean, it had to be, right? Although I know there's tricks you can do in the edit room where you like kind of blend shots together, but it looks like it's one take.
Yeah, it's just one take. And we actually shot it the same day as we shot the previously released video to Bring Me His Head. So we shot Bring Me His Head at this old ballroom, and then we drove to another location and filmed this one. And it was done in one take. And I think we did three takes altogether. You know, we're on a budget. I mean, we're not a major label band, you know, so... it's not like back in the day where they would throw, I don't know, $1 million at you, you know, to to get your videos on MTV or whatever. So, yeah, we have a small budget. So we just, you know, try to be as efficient as possible.
And creative as possible, too, because so many bands, you just see them standing there on like a sound stage lip syncing. And this was definitely something unique.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely. And... it looks like, according to the website, there's major touring plans in place. Is that correct?
Well, for now, we have two European tours lined up in November and in February, and then scattered over the next year, some festival stuff in Europe. But now that the travel ban on the US is coming down, right, this November, I think. Yes. And we're waiting for a few more visas to trickle in for the band. And as soon as, you know, all that paperwork is out of the way, we can make actual plans for returning to the States. And we can't wait. You know, we'd love to come back to the US and Canada, and hopefully we'll do so towards next year, maybe more towards fall.
Right on. We would love that. And can you talk about the current lineup of the band? Obviously you and Nick, but who else is in the band?
Yeah, we have our guitar player, Martin Norden. He also plays in a band called Dead Lord from Stockholm. And he's been in the band. He joined right after Lucifer 2 came out, just like the other guitar player, Linus Björklund. So they've been steady with us since right after the second release of Lucifer. And we've toured together a lot. And both of them actually contributed towards Lucifer 4, which is also kind of new for Lucifer, because previously, it's always been a team of two songwriters, right, on every album. The first one was Gaz and me, and then the next two albums was Nick and me. And now on this new album, Linus came with two songs that him and I wrote together, and Martin put forward this little interlude called The Funeral Pyre. And then we have Harald Goodblad. He's pretty new in the band. Well, actually, he's been in the band for 2 years, but he has not toured with us yet because of the pandemic. So we actually just played our first show in 1.5 years here in Sweden. And that was the first show for him. So next month, cool, when we go out on tour, we finally get to throw him into the fire, you know.
Right on. And, you know, we hear a lot of 70s era influences and bands that probably weren't influenced on Lucifer. But what about contemporary bands? Are there any contemporaries of yourself that you really enjoy listening to, or that maybe even are an influence on your music and your songwriting style?
As an influence for our music, there is no contemporary band, because quite frankly, you know, we are such suckers for old productions and how everything was done back in the day, and it's hard to reinvent the wheel. And it, I haven't come across a lot of stuff that really like knocks me off my feet, you know. Of course, there's, we have some peers, you know, that I think do cool stuff, but I don't think it has any influence on Lucifer. Right. There's a new band from Stockholm called Freedom, which is unsigned and pretty cool. I would recommend, if people want to listen to something that's maybe not so known yet, Freedom from Stockholm. Google
right
it.
On.
It's pretty good cool, tip. I think.
Good tip. You did something really fun. I really enjoyed it. I mean, it put a big smile on my face in the middle of this crazy COVID pandemic and lockdown. It was with the 2 minute to Late Night guys, and Marty Friedman was involved, Bill from Mastodon, you and Nick, among some other people, the Fleetwood Mac cover. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because it was such a fun watch and truly enjoyed the cover version of the classic Fleetwood Mac song.
Yeah, well, I got approached on Instagram by Jordan Oles, who is the guy that comes up with all this, right? And he obviously also plays and sings in the videos. And I had no idea what that show was, and was quite surprised, you know, when I saw how many people he's been working with already. And I mean, I love to collaborate with people, you know, and it's cool to do something that maybe is, maybe wouldn't go, you know, within Lucifer, but you get to do something else, you know, but you don't have to put your own stamp on it because somebody else is responsible for it.
Right, right.
And so he asked me, you know, if I would be into covering Fleetwood Mac. And of course I am. I'm a huge Fleetwood Mac fan, you know. I love both eras, Peter Green, and then later when Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks joined. And I thought, well, you know, when he came with that song, it was maybe not my favorite Fleetwood Mac song, and I probably would have been not one that I would have picked to cover, but I love a challenge, and it's hard to say no, you know, so we did it. It was a lot of fun. We actually had, it was kind of funny because I said, yes, I'll join, but only if Nika gets to play drums.
Oh, okay.
So, cool. So Nika joined, and we had no idea who's going to be the other members of that, you know, one song project. And we didn't know until the end who's going to do the guitar solos, because there were several people on the table. And then it was Marty Friedman. That was pretty funny. You know, I mean, this song is really all over the place in a good way.
Yeah, I mean, and it is, like I said, it puts a smile on my face when I watch it. It is fun seeing you and Marty in different parts of the world. And it's got in a positive way, almost a goofy vibe at times. And
exactly.
You know, it's fun, very fun.
It's good to have fun, you know, don't take yourself too serious. We actually did another one with them. That was the Jefferson Starship cover for Jane.
Oh, cool. I don't think I've seen that, so I'm going to have to...
Yeah, that's with Johnny Kelly of Type O Negative on drums, which I thought was very cool because when I was a teenager, I was like a big Type O Negative fan, you know, so it was cool for me.
Nice, cool. You guys once played the Kiss Cruise, and I wanted to just ask you about how that came about, because it seemed maybe a little bit outside of the wheelhouse for the bands that the Kiss Cruise usually has on board, in a good way. And I was just wondering how that all came about.
You know, I have no idea, because the thing is, that company that does the Kiss Cruise, it's called Sixth Man. And they wrote an email to me And I have no idea whose idea it was, who said, you know, have these guys come on board. But we were very happy. I've never been on a cruise ship before, and I don't think I would ever do something like that. But if you get to go to the Bahamas and be on a ship with Kiss, you know, I mean, who can say no to that? It was pretty amazing. It was actually one of the bizarrest experiences for the band, and we had a lot of fun. For example, Martin, our guitar player, he ended up playing ping pong with Ace Frehley. You know, I mean, who gets to say that?
That's amazing. And did you guys, correct me if I'm wrong, but I seem to remember reading that one of the guys in Ace's band was temporarily filling in or was in Lucifer briefly. Is that correct?
Yeah, Philip Schaus. What happened was that our last bass player, he kind of had burnouts.
And he's an Accept.
He's an Accept. He plays also with the Gene Simmons band and with Ace Frehley. He's actually on tour right now with Ace supporting Alice Cooper. So Phil Schaus, yes, we met him on the cruise, and we had a problem. Our previous bass player, Alex, he had like a burnout and he couldn't work anymore. He had to quit his job and quit Lucifer because he couldn't do anything anymore. And we were facing a US tour, and you can't get, you know, these visa procedures take super long. So we had to find somebody in the States, and we met Phil on the Kiss cruise and we were in touch. So I asked him, hey, do you want to join us for a tour? You know, so he came along for I think it was our southern US leg that we did. It was our last tour that we did, which was in January 2020, and it was a lot of fun. He's a great guy, cool player.
Awesome, cool. And again, we are talking with Johanna from the band Lucifer, and Lucifer 4 is out this Halloween. I think a couple days before Halloween, we strongly recommend it to all our Talking Metal listeners. And before I let you go, you said you lived in the States for a while, I think, before we started recording. Where in the States did you live, and how long were you here?
I lived in Los Angeles for 3 years. I moved there in 2005 and then, came back 2008 to Germany. But now I live in Sweden. So, yeah, I have a lot of family in the States. My son lives in L.A. It's kind of... some sort of, you know, remote home for me.
Awesome. Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, we cannot wait to get you guys back here in the States playing some gigs. I will be at any show you do in New York City or New Jersey. Please keep us posted.
Oh, can't wait to come back to New York City. Favorite city in the States.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you very much. It was nice talking to you.
Thanks to Udo for joining us. Thanks to Emily Striegel, my wife, for joining us. Follow Emily on her social media platforms, which we will link through today's show notes, which you can find in your podcasting app right there. So, yeah, great, great fun as always. Thank you for listening to us talk. Thank you for supporting the artists that we feature here on Talking Metal. Just have a great week, guys, and yeah, keep rocking.